We're back. This is Ladies with Gumption episode 193, San Diego Comic-Con 2022. My name is Jessica and I'm here with
May
and Tatiana.
We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash and a bunch of other stuff that went down at Comic-Con too. So if you follow us, then you know where to find us. But if you are new, then you can always send us your feedback about shows or about what you're excited for by following us on Twitter at DCTVGumption. You can send us an email, ladieswbgumption@gmail.com, or you can send us asks on Tumblr, ladieswbgumption.tumblr.com. You can find our podcast everywhere they play podcasts, really. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. And if you are on Patreon, we have some new patrons join recently. So thank you very much. It's only $10 a month. And we have exclusive content on there for premium DC, Marvel TV, Netflix shows, stuff that we don't talk about on the main podcast. You can listen to it there. You can also see, recently we have done, what have we done recently, actually? What have we done?
I know, it feels like it's been a while. We did Bridgerton season 2.
We did do that. It has to be more recent than that.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Oh my god, what did we do in like June?
Our memories are not working, clearly.
Clearly, it's like, it's the heat, it's the heat. Yeah, definitely on vacation time. But we've done a lot of stuff, believe us.
Oh, we did The Boys. That's the one that we did.
Here we go. That's the most recent.
And so we have like a lot of other stuff that's on tap as well. So you can stay tuned for that. And you can find our Patreon at www.patreon.com/DCTVGumption. I know that there is, also you can send us requests. Like I think recently we got a request for Paper Girls, which is a new show on Amazon Prime. So
different getting things, around to it.
Yes, different things like that. If you're interested, then just let us know. A lot of news to get into, which is, you know, our SCCC episode is a little bit delayed because we've been on vacation, but it's actually coming at a good time because we got a lot of extra San Diego Comic-Con type news to go into the episode. And it's mainly that HBO Max, HBO WB is imploding on itself. A lot of news went down about HBO and Discovery, the merger this week. One of the biggest things to come out of this is that they canceled the Batgirl movie starring Leslie Grace, just took it for a tax write-off. So a lot of people are now worried about what happened to Blue Beetle. I think I saw a tweet saying that the Supergirl movie is less likely to happen now. What did you guys think about the announcement? Because this movie, Batgirl movie, was like $90 million. You had the return of Michael Keaton. You had Brendan Fraser playing Firefly. You had all of these different things going for it. It was almost done, really. And then the directors, even they were at a wedding and didn't even know that their movie got canceled until they came on like Twitter and saw that it was just...
Can you imagine you're like having a good time and then you show up? And you're like, wait, what?
And to not have been told separately beforehand is just, that's just disrespectful.
Yeah. So what are all your thoughts about what's going on with this merger, what it means for the content? I know people, James Gunn was saying, you know, relax, guys, like Peacemaker is safe. I think the story editor for Doom Patrol also similarly was like, you know, we're good. Because I think once the rumors came out about how, you know, they were just slashing everything in the HBO Max catalog, and then they backtracked it and said, no, that's not true. I think it started off with them saying that 70% of the scripted development team in HBO Max was being, like, laid off.
Right.
So what are your thoughts about this whole shakeup at HBO and HBO Max?
Well,
it's a shit show.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, exactly that. Like, they're saying, like, in that latest call or what, you know, in the actual, like, earnings call, they're like, oh, no, we're in good shape. We have a plan. We have a 10-year plan for DC Films, and we are going to just merge HBO Max and Discovery into one new streaming service so people won't lose content, etc. But the way they've gone about it is already so messy that I don't have faith in their 10-year plan or in whatever plans they think that they're going to have for their new streaming service. It feels like such a waste to put so much effort into shoving HBO Max in our faces for like 2 years until we finally were like, well, Netflix is going down the drain, so I guess HBO Max is the best streaming service now. And then to be like, surprise! It's going to be HBO Discovery WB Plus or whatever it's going to be called now. So yeah, and then the way that they treated Batgirl is very disrespectful. And then to like put out this like, it's like there was like this whole like, oh, actually it was because it tested really badly. You know,
as if they never put out a single.
I just want to leave the movie. The idea that people have spent so much of their professional lives writing, directing, shooting this show, Leslie Grace, you know, you get, this is like a role of a lifetime that you could get as an actor, and you go through the whole experience, and to have no one see that work, I think is like, and that's, it's not just even Batgirl, because I think they also canned the Scooby-Doo movie, animated movie that was also pretty much finished, and a lot of other shows, and we're getting like canceled, just like work people's hearts and passion projects that they put in, and no one gets to see it because you took a tax write-off. It just doesn't really seem fair, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And it's, like you said, it's disrespectful to the creative team, to the actors. And I have to imagine that they're pretty, I'm not going to say that they're lying, but I don't believe them for one second that they have a 10-year plan, because they've been just screwing up already. And I feel like for a long time everyone didn't trust DC, the DC side of things, because we kept getting like movies that were supposed to be part of a shared universe and then it's not, and then we finally settled on, let's just let people do whatever they want, right? We've got Batman here, we've got other stuff on, you know, that doesn't have to be super connected to each other or anything like that. We finally made peace with all of it. And then they're trying to go back on that and trying to be like Marvel again. And I feel like at this point, it's just too late for all of that, because A, Marvel's got like over a decade, you know, ahead. They're ahead of.
And I feel like, you know, even if you're trying to compare to Marvel, like we could get to that later, but I feel like Marvel is stretching themselves too thin at this point.
Yes.
So it's not like that's like the end all be all of like superhero.
For sure.
Whatever.
And it's concerning too, because I don't think the CEO of Warner Discovery understands DC stuff at all, doesn't understand the characters, and also I think that he hired, like, first of all, they let go of a lot of major execs at WB, and now I think the main team is pretty much all white men, which is also, like, concerning, because that's going to affect how, you know, the project that are greenlit later on down the line. So I just think it's pretty awful, and like the whole test screening is bad. I'm like, WB, like every studio has released a not so great movie per se, but that's for everyone else to decide when they see it, you know. And it's not something you can't necessarily adjust with a couple of, you know, brief reshoots or something like that. It's not, you know, I think it was a Hollywood Reporter article that was like, so I guess we expect masterpieces from WB moving forward.
Right,
happen, right? So I just think it's just the decision to so abruptly cancel Batgirl is just bad news for the entire studio moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. And Swire had his, he sent me his theory on what was going on. So he says, okay, I have a theory on what Zaslav wants for the DCEU. He wants to streamline the universe into a single one. That's what kind of what you're saying, May. So the Batman was successful, and he wants that Batman to be the main Batman of the universe. So if we're going with our Pats or our Bats, then that means Leslie Grace's Batgirl. It doesn't really fit in with that universe. While including the other most successful elements of it with him, thus no Keaton and potentially no Affleck, at least after Aquaman, and especially no Batgirl. So that was kind of like his thought process, which I guess kind of goes along with what you were saying, May. I don't know.
Yeah, like, what's interesting? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I because it seemed like they were on the precipice of just opening up so much more of an extended multiverse and having separate, because it's still separate, right? Because the HBO Max DCE or HBO Max DC verse is different from the DCEU. So you have like our bats up there, and then you have, you know, Blue Beetle, you have Batgirl. I think that at one point we were getting ready for like a Zatanna movie. So I guess that's not in the cards or whatever. You could have built like such a, you know, broader base of stuff. And you got to think about now, like, does that mean Titans is gone, Doom Patrol, Peacemaker? Like, you're building like this whole world. Like, if you want to call it the James Gunn verse, it's like Peacemaker and whatever. But I don't, yeah.
Yeah,
it's very confusing what they're doing.
And I was gonna say that I find it really bizarre now in hindsight, now that we have the news that Batgirl is canceled, the fact that Ben Affleck is gonna be in the Aquaman movie, and I feel like they're probably doing that because they knew that, you know, his time in, I don't know what they're gonna do with the Flash. Flash is probably still going forward, but like
more confusing thing, like, yeah. If you're chopping off movies because of like bad press, or you know, we wasted need money to like regroup, then why are we still doing the Flash? Unless, you know, maybe they are waiting for the Flash to just blow everything up. I have no idea. That just seems kind of like odd. Like, you see like a lot of tweets of, you know, Homelander scene where he's just like looking around like, yeah, okay. It's like, this is Ezra Miller once he sees that, you know, HBO Max is canceling everything except their movie.
I know. And even like the idea that like, oh, what's important to DC is, again, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. I was like, are we back here again? Because there's more characters than the main trio. And I promise you that they would also do well in theaters and on HBO Max. But, and it's really frustrating too, because we've seen DC success in streaming and on television. Like, we had the whole Arrowverse. That was a huge deal for a long time in its prime. So the fact that people are ignoring that success is very strange to me, that you can't replicate that with other properties.
And speaking of the Arrowverse, we did get some welcome news. It's probably a weird way to say it for fans of The Flash, but The Flash did announce that season 9 is going to be its final season. They start filming sometime in mid-September, and today Grant Gustin put out a video kind of just talking about the final season, how much he's enjoyed being on the show, carrying out this character through his career, thanking the cast and crew. So what sparked joy about this final season announcement for you guys?
I mean, I think it, like, even he also sounded glad about the concept of going out on your own terms, right? Which I do think it's better for The Flash to announce its final season than to way overstay its welcome. So I am hopeful that they're at least going to have a plan for how they're wrapping it up, and thus create a stronger season than the perhaps last two seasons have been. But especially stronger than the last one, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
So
I mean, we're all talking about this in like ahead of the news, even, you know, the fact that we hope season 9 is the last season, because I don't know how much more we could take. But the news was still like very bittersweet, because I feel like for all the shit we've been talking about the show, because it's been so terrible the last two seasons, it's still like, at least personally, like, giving me a lot. You know, I'll never be a part of fandom again, but I made friends, you know, we had this podcast, so like The Flash has been good in that respect.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's good to know that it's ending and that it's going to be a short season. And I feel like if they play their cards right and they do something like what they did with Armageddon, tell a tight story, that it could be something memorable. So we won't be like, this was so terrible in the final season, because that would be devastating to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk some more. Yeah, we'll talk some more about The Flash coming up in future podcasts. But moving on to other parts of the news, we also got a release date for The Joker 2, starring Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker and Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. It's going to, we know it's going to be a musical, and it's going to be set in Arkham Asylum, and it has an October 2024 release date. So that, we're looking forward to that. Also, in superhero adjacent news, we had The Boys season 4. They promoted Cameron Cravetti, who plays Homelander's son Ryan, to series regular, and then they add two new characters played by Valerie Curry and Susan Hayward to the cast. So we'll learn, and these are two characters that aren't in the comics, so we know nothing about them, and what their role is going to be. So we'll get more news to that probably eventually. So all of that is good stuff. The format of the rest of this episode is basically going back to San Diego Comic-Con. Tati was there on the ground, so she can give us all the deets on what was there, what was the vibe like, and we'll talk about some of the big things coming out for Marvel Universe and for DC. So Tati, why don't you take us back a couple weeks to San Diego Comic-Con and paint the picture for us.
Okay, I can try. San Diego Comic-Con, a couple weeks back, maybe 2 weeks back. I don't remember. yes, exactly. Flashback music. When we arrived, there were protesters outside the Hilton Bayfront because the workers want to be unionized and they only want to have one job. And we heard a man crying to us about how he has to go back and forth from Mexico. Because all his family had to move back there because they could not afford to live here. So that is why he hopes that the, you know, Hilton will pay them more. I hope they work it out.
That's one way to kick off a Comic-Con.
Yes. They weren't there anymore after the first day, after preview night. So I'm hoping that means that
they got paid.
Exactly, they got paid. That's my fingers crossed. So happy for them. Because I was ready for it to last the whole Comic-Con, and that to mean fewer interviews because people just could not get in. Did not happen, though. I was mostly in the Hilton because that is where the interview suite was. But the con itself was actually a lot lighter than, not than expected, because it is post-pandemic just now, so, like, I'm sure they first off sold fewer tickets, and then some people just did not come because of the fear, which is very understandable. So that meant the lines were not quite as long, which is probably good. And then on Friday, when I had to, you know, run over to the show floor to grab something, it was actually pretty easy to walk through. There was a lot of people. Saturday was the only day that was, like, packed. Right? Yeah, Saturday was the day that
Hall H.
Yeah, Hall H, and then also just the show floor too. Like when you feel like everyone is there, but the other days did not feel like everyone was there. and Sunday had like almost no programming, so that was interesting. Overall, it's been a much more chill Comic-Con. It feels like.
Do you think that this is, you know, are they doing it because this is the first year back, and so they're kind of, you know, slow rolling it out, or do you think this is like the new Comic-Con? Do you think that people are still going to go, especially now that during the pandemic, DC branched off and did its own thing, and they didn't really have stuff there at Comic-Con this year?
And we know, and Marvel always saved stuff for D23, even though they still had plenty of stuff. But I do think that, like, as more people try to take advantage and have their own cons, and then, of course, just the general after effect of having gone through a global pandemic for like 1.5 to 2 years, it'll probably take a little bit of time for Comic-Con to get back to where it was previously. But as long as they made money, I think that's fine. It's not like it was bad. It was just a little less crowded. So,
which is not bad, you know.
Exactly. For me, that's fine. But anyway, there were still plenty of trailers, which I assume we have all watched, to discuss. So we can begin with the Belle of the Ball, Marvel, Saturday Hall H, where we announced two new phases, even though phase four started like 3 weeks ago. So it's like, wait, phase five and six are coming? Well, phase four is ending with like Black Panther or something? Like, isn't that what it is? Like the next movie is like the end of phase four, mm-hmm. and then phase five starts. It's like 2 years. Phase four lasted 2 years. Meanwhile, like the first three phases were like 5 years each or 4 years each or something. I don't know. Very, very crazy to me. But whatever. So what else did we learn at the Marvel panel? We saw trailers for Black Panther.
Well, what is, like, can you explain what phase five and phase six are supposed to be?
Well, that's the thing. They're even like, it sounds like they're literally one combined story because they're called the Infinity Saga, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is related to...
They're still calling them the Infinity Saga?
Is it not?
Or I think that was like the first...
No, you're right. Let me see. Actually, let me see. Phases, that was right? The first three. Yes. Yeah. So it's called something else. What is it called? Why can't I remember it now?
I don't know. I just remember like Kong. Avengers, it's about Kong.
Oh, it leads to Secret Wars. It leads to Secret Wars. So it's Kong, one is called Kong Dynasty and one is called Secret Wars. And together they are called something that I cannot remember what it is. But it's also a saga. Some kind of saga. It's not like Secret Saga. But anyway, point is it's filled with Secret Wars. And what is Secret Wars? Kong the Conqueror, like, oh, that's what it's called, duh, the Multiverse Saga, obviously, Saga, because we have started. So 4 through 6 are called the Multiverse Saga. So season four, phase four sets up that the multiverse exists, right? And then phase five is, I assume, going to be, like, what Kang does with the fact that the multiverse exists, like, how he messes up the multiverse. And then phase six will be, like, the all-out war due to the effects that have taken place in the multiverse. So that is what's going to be the situation there. Secret Invasion has the Skrulls. Ant-Man and the Wasp, obviously, will be, like, the Quantum Verse. Somehow that's going to build to Thunderbolts. With all the shady people that we met in phase four. I guess Thunderbolts will be phase five. So there you go. What the shape is, I don't actually know. But Kang is going to be the Thanos of this saga. So
that's good for Jonathan Masters.
Exactly. It's great for him. So we'll see how many movies he shows up in, TV shows, etc. And it'll be interesting because obviously this will be the first saga where we have all these shows somehow playing into the main plot. Like, we've already had Kang introduced in Loki instead of in a movie. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. And also, there was a combination of movies and TV shows at the panel because we got Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Black Panther, Quantumania, but then also She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. I don't know why they needed to add that subtitle, but it is there.
I guess to tell us that, like, her main focus is that she's a lawyer, but she just happens to be a Hulk at the same time.
I guess you're right. I guess that is exactly right.
Yeah.
I know it's supposed to be, like, an Ally McBeal-type comedy,
mm-hmm.
Which is, like, that's a fun idea, in my opinion. So that makes you look forward to it more than the special effects from the trailer did. That was rough.
It looks better, though.
Yes, the new trailer did look better. Yes.
Yeah.
So I do hope. I hope for the best. I think that it will be cute.
From your perspective, because again, like, I'm not, like, the Marvel heavy person on this team. So for me, like, watching the trailer, I don't know how she became Hulk or why she suddenly needed to be trained by Bruce.
In the comics, it's basically like a blood transfer that he gives her that turns her into the Hulk.
Yeah. Okay. It's not, I don't think it's that here, but it is like a random happenstance event where she has become the Hulk separately from him.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like this is part of my earlier comment that I feel like Marvel is stretching itself too thin with all the shows. Because I feel like I have fallen off on a lot of them. Don't hate me, but I have not seen Kamala Khan. I stopped. Moonlight or Moon Knight in like the first, I barely got through the first episode of that. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just like oversaturation of the market. I feel like that's it a little bit. And then you get, you know, the shows that you do get, the because they're oversaturated, there's not enough money to make someone green or muscular. I think that's another thing. I like Tatiana Maslany, and I liked her in like Orphan Black and stuff like that. So I don't have any problems with her as an actress, but I feel like, you know, with She-Hulk, there are so many like actually muscular women that you don't need to make CGI to make bigger or whatever. You just need some, like, you know, good old fashioned green paint or special effects or, you know, that kind of stuff. It feels like a miss to have her as She-Hulk just body type wise, but
yes.
I don't know that the trailer did anything to make me think, oh, well, I see why they went with her from a physical perspective.
I definitely agree.
Because that's true. It's mostly CGI, right? Like, there's nothing about her that's necessarily, I don't know what her workout regime was, but I learned recently that they even use CGI to, like, bulk up the men, which just tells us that these standards are just too high.
Right.
Too cartoonish.
Yeah. The standards are too high, but like for She-Hulk, at least it would have been nice to have cast someone with a different body type, right? Because her body type is very petite. I mean, and even in the cast, I remember the casting call had said an Alison Brie type. So they're like literally never looking for someone who is not that.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah. And I feel like they said that too because Alison Brie was on GLOW, right? But there was also other women on that show who were actually muscular and
had that physique.
So, yeah, the casting with Marvel continues to disappoint in a lot of ways. And I can't say that I'm necessarily excited about this show. I will probably watch, but I don't necessarily care about.
I probably will not. I'm just going to tell you right now.
But I do feel like in general with the MCU, and my friend joked that people are all excited about like basically a PowerPoint presentation. Like, here's all the films. Get excited. Yeah. Like, I don't know that I care anymore. And I feel like that's probably because, like you mentioned, Jess, it's like the oversaturation. Because back in the day, and this was, you know, even 5-6 years ago, it was just maybe 1-2 movies a year at the most. And now you're getting like 3 movies a year plus the TV shows, and it's just very exhausting to keep up. Like, at some point, I'm sure a lot of people have already dropped off.
They're all connected,
and it just does get to be exhausting. And I feel like creatively it is not the right way to go, because even with shows as great as Ms. Marvel, get bogged down by certain things that have to connect to the next thing that she's going to be in or something like that. So it gets to be really frustrating, and I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I don't really care about the details of what's happening as long as it's entertaining, I guess.
Right. I mean, I think that's also why the reviews of this phase have suffered too. This has gotten some of Marvel's worst critically, whatever, what do you want to call it, critical ratings for their movies, and even the shows, like, other than WandaVision, weren't getting, like, people weren't like, I guess Loki maybe, people were like, yeah. For the most part, I feel like people were kind of like over getting fed all of this stuff and then being told, like, this is going to be relevant some other time, I promise. But right now it kind of circled the drain. So we'll see.
I did like the trailer for Wakanda Forever.
Definitely.
Because I thought it was like really visually pleasing. Is this... Okay, see, again, like, it was very visually pleasing, but again, like, I'm not really sure, because we saw, like, Namor, like, being, like, born and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know who he is, so I don't know how he connects to this story. Is this happening, like, during the snap, like, the 5 years that people weren't there, I'm assuming? Is that how they get around not having
T'Challa?
I have no idea.
I actually, that's a great question.
No, because he came back in Endgame, so he does come back.
I mean, yeah, but like if this is like this is the 5-year period between the snap, because like, well, in the movie, like he didn't just like, he wasn't always there, right? Like,
he got snapped out, right? I'm not sure about the timing. I think there's definitely a part of the film where they are in the snap time. Because the queen says, "I am the queen of the world," and, and obviously Shuri is not dead. So this must be during the snap, where Shuri was also snapped. Mm-hmm. So that part, yes, at some point in the movie, there is the snap. But I think that if they're going to go past it, I do think that they're actually killing off T'Challa. I think that they confirmed that. And so then it's the question of who is going to be the next Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And while they await for, you know, not Nakia's child to be, you know, an adult or whatever, I guess. At least, and also, I guess who's going to be king, right? I guess Shuri's king? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to deal with the king thing. But, obviously, a baby cannot rule. So, yes, that is the plot. But I am pretty sure that it's not just during the snap. It's going to be, like, a portion during the snap, and then it'll be after the post-snap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, can you, like, do you guys know about Namor, or, like, what he's supposed to be in the Marvelverse? Can you explain that for people that maybe feel like, meaning me?
Namor?
I just know he's, like, Marvel Aquaman or something.
Sort of. But he's kind of like an anti-hero type of character. So he is the king of Atlantis, except in this movie, he's the king of Tarokan. Because they're making it, like, kind of Aztec.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's still going to be an underwater kingdom, which was Atlantis, but I feel like they just don't want it to be confused with the Atlantis from the DC. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting because I feel like in terms of like indigenous representation in the movie, that it's done right.
Yeah,
I understand why they wouldn't want to use like the word Atlantis, because we already got Aquaman and that would be like too obvious. And confusing to people, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. Continue.
So basically, the plot is that since T'Challa is not around, Talokan and Namor, its king, is like, this is our time to take over Wakanda, or this is our time to like get whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So he wants to be king of Wakanda, I guess, and so Wakanda must fight off the Talokan people. But sometimes they're friends. Like, they're not always enemies. So I guess by the end of it, the two nations will have been like, hey, maybe we should be allies. That would be cool.
The colonizers and not each other.
Exactly. So that's my expectation, since he is like, Namor is like sometimes an enemy, but sometimes an ally. And he's not like a bad person, just like a warring kingdom. So. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, also, he's a mutant in the comics, which may be a thing. He's a mutant in the comics.
Oh, okay.
So that may be something that they incorporate, because we are obviously moving towards mutants, since we have Ms. Marvel as a mutant. So, instead of an... whatever the one that's not Eternals is. The one that's Inhuman! Inhuman!
My mind went completely blank. I was like, oh, right, Eternals was a thing, too.
I like, there's just so many. Eternals, Inhumans, mutants. So I think they might make Namor immune in the movie. So,
yeah.
But yes, trailer was great. I did, you know, tear up. I thought it was very emotional. And it was very visually stunning. And the music was very evocative. So,
yeah, it's like the one Marvel movie I'm really looking forward to seeing. Mm-hmm. Everything else is kind of just like
exactly. Yeah. Did they say like, do they have a release date for that movie?
I think it's October something
of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. It is definitely this year.
November 11th. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
October is Black Adam. Black Adam is Black Panther, and then November is Black Panther. So, yeah, look forward to that. The other ones, I think is what's next Quantum Mania?
Yes.
Quantum Mania is out February 17th. Yep.
And then Guardians 3, and then Captain Marvel's next November 2023.
Easy to me. Yeah, Guardians is May. So it's just like 2 or 3 months in between each one. So crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Quantumania, I did not get to see whatever footage they showed because I was not there. But they don't have like a full trailer for it. But the way they talk about it is fun. I'm excited to see some Cassie, you know, maybe getting to be Stature. And even though Evangeline Lilly has been very weird, I do like Hope. So I look forward to more Hope. And Janet, Michelle Pfeiffer's character. So I do like my, you know, Wasp ladies.
I wish they'd make the whole movie Michelle Pfeiffer. I would watch that.
Yeah, right?
I don't know about everybody else, except Paul Rudd.
Who would not watch that? Let's be honest. Who would not watch? So yeah. But there's not really much to say about that, I think, because we don't really know anything other than Ant-Man and Wasp get lost in the quantum realm or explore the quantum realm. And it'll obviously have far-reaching implications.
Kang is the one who's showing up in this film, right? Like, this is his next appearance.
Yes, Kang is definitely showing up in Quantumania. Yeah. So, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, we know Star-Lord will be mourning, you know, the loss of his Gamora and trying to make this Gamora see his... see their love. What else? I don't know. I literally have no idea what else is happening. That's all I know about Guardians. Oh, yeah, of
course. It's such a negative Nelly, because I feel like, why are they making a third one? Like, I didn't need this in my life.
Okay, I need it, because I need Gamora to be back in the fold, but well, otherwise, I don't need anything.
I guess Chris Pratt needs more things to do. Like, he's Mario, he's Garfield, he's fighting off dinosaurs.
It's oversaturation of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He said he didn't like him one time, and now he's like everywhere.
Poor Chris Pratt. But yeah, I am interested to see what their take on Adam Warlock is going to be, because I do love Will Poulter, but he is most certainly not what I expected Adam Warlock to be. Like, when I think, oh, we're casting Adam Warlock, I'm like, okay, Keanu Reeves, obviously, the perfect man. But no, it is Will Poulter. So I have many questions.
Yes. That's, like, Will Poulter's face in my head when I envision him is just like a sour pout.
I mean, that so, is like, his face.
Yes,
he seems very sweet, but
yes,
he has a sour pout face.
Yes. So when I imagine him as Adam Warlock, I'm like, I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
We sure will. And I know the High Evolutionary is kind of like the big bad. So, and I think the footage, again, I have not seen the footage, but what I heard is that the footage teased his connection to Rocket Raccoon, has some kind of like trauma from the High Evolutionary. But then the actor said, when questioned about this, that he has affected everyone's lives in a not positive way. So he will have connections to everyone. Good to know. I look forward to more Karen Gillan and actually her and Nebula being on the team. So that's cool. I guess James Gunn's bro, Sean Gunn, as Kraglin. He's always fun. So it'll be fun to see him as part of the team as well. And that's all I got. Anyone else have thoughts?
Just surprised that Rocket is getting a backstory, I guess, or some sort of story at all, because I feel like he's been fun, but him and Groot have just kind of been on animal the outskirts sidekicks. Of things. Yeah, animal sidekicks, exactly. So right. We'll see.
We will see. And then finally, the closest is actually She-Hulk. So, and that we've just kind of discussed already. So, nothing else to say, I guess, about Marvel. Any final thoughts on how End of Phase 4, start of Phase 5 is looking?
I couldn't even tell you. To be honest.
I saw the little, PowerPoint presentation. I was just like, that's a lot.
Right.
I did like Loki, which I didn't think I would like Loki, just because like I don't go here like that. But I did like the show, and I liked the introduction of King's character. And so I think it's weird that there's such a gap between when he was introduced and when we'll see him again. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see him again and get going more on that story. But yeah, I just feel like there's a lot going on in the middle that I don't necessarily care about yet. Yeah. Are they really giving me a reason to care about it?
I agree about Kang, and I feel like my hope is that they'll also bring back Gugu Mbatha-Raw, just because her character in the comics has a connection to Kang. And I feel like she would be a great addition to, like, put her in movies. I don't care what she's in, I will watch her. And I feel like they sort of underutilize her character, and I want her to get more. And it would be great if she actually shared a scene with Jonathan Majors, because that would just be the icing on top of the cake.
She'll definitely be back for season two, so I do hope that she gets to make it to the movies, too. And become Kang's girlfriend, or whatever. So, on the other hand, the comic book giant with almost no presence whatsoever at San Diego Comic-Con, but they did have some trailers, it's fine, was DC. So, we have, even though they're, like, not connected, we have Black Adam, Shazam 2, and The Sandman, which has no relationship whatsoever to Black Adam and Shazam, but is the thing that I was most excited about and that I loved and was the best. So, have you guys seen any of The Sandman yet?
No, I have not. It released today, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. It just released today. And it's super good, I think. But I am still waiting to hear thoughts from people who did not already read the comics.
Mm.
Or graphic novel, whatever you want to call it. Or listen to the audiobook or whatever. Because I did, obviously. So I was like, what a cool, faithful adaptation. They did so good. But I'm also like, I don't know that there's a hook for someone who hasn't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you're like, yes, the dreaming. I'm ready. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't read the comics. And I guess my first thought about seeing the trailer and just hearing about it was like, this looks cool. Like, yeah. Really dark. Mysterious, interesting. Like, I will watch it, but
well, that's good.
Yeah,
I feel like there's that one thing, like, it's the thing that all villains do when you're a villain. Like, the most villainy thing you can do is I'm gonna remake the world in my own image. It's like, because that goes so well. But it does look like a really interesting concept, and I liked Gwendolyn, what's her name?
Christie.
Gwendolyn Christie's, like, look as Lucifer. So yeah, I am intrigued. So you're saying as a graphic novel reader first, and then seeing the Netflix adaptation, you would think that people that read the novels would be happy with what they see on the show?
Yes. I mean, I think so. I thought it was a pretty faithful adaptation. And if anything, like, I just don't think you can, like, recreate the, like, visual, like, the beauty of the comic. Like, it's just so gorgeous. But I thought the characterization, like, the acting and the story, like, whatever. I was invested watching it. And I liked seeing certain things that they kept the same, and then certain things that they changed, I liked how they changed them. You know, like, it was fun to see that change for the show. So, yeah, overall, 10/10 would recommend. But in terms of the Comic-Con presence, I know they did a press line. We got to interview with the press line. The cast all seem very, you know, enthused about the project. I hope it gets more than one season, because they adapted, I guess, the first two graphic novels, or the first two, you know, trades, if you will, collected volumes. And there's still, like, two more or something. So yeah, it should at least get a second season. yeah. So then on to DC Theatrical. We have Black Adam, which apparently is going to just, like, completely shift the pendulum of the DC universe. we've never seen a DC like this before.
I highly,
Johnson's
highly,
power.
Yeah. I mean, the way that he is hyping this up, like, you really, I'm just like, all right, this is going to be the wildest, craziest ride ever.
He's a big hype man, though. I don't
know. He really is.
I have it's not even a love hate, because it's not even that strong of a word, but I mean, like, I like The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, like, you know, top tier acting or whatever. He has like a zone that he is really good in as far as, like, you know, comedy or action movies. But in terms of like changing the entire DC universe or changing the game or having like a iconic superhero film, I don't know. Like, when I saw like the trailer, it seemed like it was trying to, it did seem like it was trying to play up both of his suits at the same time, like action, and then also there's comedy in here, and it's just, it was just a little bit confusing to me as what it was trying to do as like a movie, because it was trying to be like super dramatic, because he was like, you know, I didn't want to be a hero and my son died and I'm still alive, and you know, the world wanted a hero but instead they got me.
That's so funny.
So dramatic. I saw Noah Centineo, and I don't even know why I got so annoyed. What? I just hope that, you know, I mean, it looks like a decent watch, but I just hope that coming out of this movie that all the Middle Eastern actors in it have opportunities afterwards. Because
I feel like that's
part of it, too, that, you know, you talk about like representation and like having, you know, these kind of opportunities, but they're not really going to the actors who are the ethnicity that the character is supposed to be.
Yeah. So it's always a problem. It's an uphill battle.
I think probably the thing that I'm most excited about in this movie is Aldis Hodge as like Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think visually that scene looked really nice. So I'm excited to see that. What's his name? James Bond guy.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes. Dr. Fate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That'll be fun. And they seem, like, Dr. Fate, like, is a difficult character, I think, in terms of, like, how you can make him visually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or like to do justice to him or whatever on the visual front. So at least I'm sure they'll have the budget for that, hopefully. So that'll be interesting to see.
That's where all the money went.
Exactly, Dr. Fate. But yeah, like overall, I think it's going to be a fun movie. Like, I can't imagine like coming out of it like, God, I hated that. But right. I don't foresee
it's not
going to actually
be like Batman though.
Right. I don't foresee it actually changing the shape of whatever. Although it might be in the sense that, like, if it's popular enough and if we enjoy the actors enough, we might get spin-offs of the JSA, and that could be fun. Because I do like all the JSA actors minus Noah Centineo. however the hell you'd say his name. Not that I dislike him, but you know.
Yes.
I'm talking more about Aldis Hodge.
Yes.
So that could be fun to see, you know, how we branch out from there.
No Noah hate, just indifference.
Exactly. So any other thoughts on Black Adam, or shall we Shazam?
Shazam. Let's Shazam it.
Shazam! 2, Fury of the Gods. The gods have furiously made all of the children into adults. And so now even their child versions seem too old, but that's okay. The plot of Shazam 2 is literally that, like, the goddesses are mad that the family has powers. And also Billy is concerned that maybe he'll get kicked out of the foster home, or like he won't have anywhere to go when he turns 18. So he's like trying to keep the fam together with their powers. And that's all I know. But it looks like fun.
It really
does. They're having fun.
Yeah. Yes, they certainly do. Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren look like they're having fun. And Rachel Zegler looks like she's doing something else, maybe. Like, she's part of them, but not. You know what I mean? Not like she's not having fun, but, like, she's not actually one of the villains. We're not so sure what her character is. So,
yeah. I think of all the DC films upcoming, and there's, you know, only like two or three, right? This one seems like the most fun and the most risk averse.
Free? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It's risk free. It's just doing its own thing. It's having a good time.
It feels like it'll be a good family movie, because I feel like the first one felt like a good family movie, and that's like part of like its popularity and why it did so well. And I feel like this is kind of in the same vein, especially with the core of it being like Billy trying to keep his family together, because I feel like when I was watching the trailer, you know, at first, you know, he got these powers, and then he gave his foster brothers and sister these powers, and so now they all have powers, and now it feels like they're going in different directions, because each of them has probably their own idea of what being a superhero means or what they want to do. And so, and then you have like these goddesses that are, you know, attacking like the family, and so it's like a lot of pressure for him on, I didn't even want these powers to begin with, why do I have these powers? I don't feel like an adult. And then like trying to keep all of his family together and come up with this united front, trying to be a leader when you're what, like 12? So I think that is like a compelling story for him. And I feel like that would make, you know, I think that the core themes, if they play them off as well as it looks in the trailer, I think it'll be a good movie, like a solid movie that your family can enjoy.
Agreed. So that's the end of DC's story. Do we have?
Well, they did have Harley Quinn in it. They did the first three episodes at DC.
Oh, that's
DC.
True, they did. And now they have seen the first three episodes as well. I still
did you watch them there? Or?
No, I didn't get to, because let me tell you, I want to be excited for this Lord of the Rings, Power of the Rings thing, because I'm like, I love diversity. That is great. And also, the Tolkienites hate it because they're racist. And sexist, and they're very furious that you would change Tolkienist's white supremacist vision for something else. So I'm like, this better be fucking good. But I did not get to see Harley Quinn, because on Thursday night, I had to go to a Lord of the Rings event that was super secret, top secret event, where they dragged me. But, you know, they drove me out to, like, some freaking hotel or restaurant or something. It was like a 20-minute drive. And then we had this, like, dinner where you're supposed to, like, mingle with, like, Amazon executives and then, like, cast members. But you didn't know who was a cast member unless they came to you and said, hey, I'm playing this person. I mean, I guess if you would, like, actually memorize the cast list, you would know. But, like, I don't know who's playing. Like, I can't tell what they look like in a suit.
The cast is huge. Yeah,
without their ears.
Exactly. And the cast is huge. So I'm like, are you a cast member or an Amazon executive? Because I only want to talk to one of you. But thankfully, I ended up sitting at a table with Elendil. Lloyd Owen. So I did not have to talk to an Amazon executive. But anyway, point is, the dinner was like two hours worth of dinner, and I was still waiting, like, why are we here? What's the top secret thing? I had dinner. And then they finally showed us the trailer that they were going to show the next day of the panel. So that was why they had driven us out here.
That was the big secret.
Yes, the big secret was showing us the trailer 10 hours early.
Wow.
And then being like, it's embargoed until it comes out. And I was like, well, you only played it one time, and I wasn't allowed to have my phone out, so I don't have any notes on this. I'm not going to write anything about this trailer.
And they didn't send you, like, an email about what was in the trailer?
No! No!
Hey, at least you got dinner with Amazon executives and some people that maybe or may or not be in.
Did they drive you back to Comic-Con?
Yes, they did drive me back, but I didn't get back until 11, and the Harley Quinn thing is heard at 10, so I was like, mother effer. That was so sad. But anyway, that's my story.
Amazon's going to Amazon, I guess.
Exactly. So that was...
they want to spend their money on driving you out and feeding you and showing you a trailer they're going to show in towers. And hey.
But that did not prime me to be super excited for Lord of the Rings, the Power of the Rings. Anyway, point is, Harley Quinn is great. Yes. It seemed like the reception at Comic-Con was excellent. Like, everyone was, like, cheering and, like, laughing and, like, whatever. For those episodes. I did interview the writers, the creators, the next day. And they were very happy with how the panel had gone and how the showing had gone. So,
Well, hopefully that's, well, I can't really say it was good news or not for shows on HBO Max.
Can James Gunn save Harley Quinn as well?
Yeah. Like, come on.
I do think, like, they do feel like the shows are separate. You know what I mean? Like, like CW was one thing, obviously. It was all bloodbath because CW was tanking. But if HBO Max is actually becoming part of Discovery, there's no reason for them not to keep the shows. However, I'm afraid they might tone it down. You know what I mean? Like, no. HBO Max might let them go however far, but will Discovery Plus extra now with HBO Max?
Because let them... only women watch Discovery Plus, right? All the men watch HBO Max.
Exactly, exactly. So they are looking for, like, a balance, right? They want to combine them to, like, appeal to all demos. So I'm like, we'll see.
Any other highlights from San Diego Comic-Con that you want to share before you wrap it up?
Who I want to share other highlights. You know what? I will tell you, this is, for me, this is my personal highlight, was Interview with the Vampire, actually. I, no interest in Interview with a Vampire prior to Comic-Con. I think that, I don't even like Anne Rice novels that much. And I certainly didn't even like the movie that much. And I was like, why does this exist? But then I saw the trailer and I was like, yes, it's in the Jazz Age. And of course, I freaking love Jacob Anderson. Like, I love Grey Worm from Game of Thrones. And they have so much chemistry, like him and the guy that plays Sam Reed, who plays Lestat. I interviewed them, and
you interviewed the vampires. Oh my gosh!
I had an interview with the vampires from Interview with the Vampire. I know, it was so meta, but anyway. And they were super excited. I was super excited. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it now. Now I'm like, I even downloaded the stupid Interview with the Vampire book on Audible, and...
It's not stupid. It's a good book.
What platform is that coming on?
It's AMC.
AMC. Okay.
Yes. And so I'm at the part where he just turned Claudia into a vampire. That's where I'm at.
Okay. You ever see the original, or I don't know, is it the original movie? The movie with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt?
Yes, I did see the movie with Tom Cruise.
And you didn't like it?
Kirsten Dunst.
I mean, it was fine. Like, it was fine. But it was not like, you know, it's not rock my world. All right. I'm trying to think
she didn't like that Tom Cruise was Lestat. Like, she hated that casting choice, I remember.
Well, he was, yeah. I mean, I was not a fan of that casting choice. And I also think that they didn't play it very
gay.
I don't know. Well, yeah, they didn't play it very gay. Yes, first off. Needed to be more gay. And then secondly, I just feel like there's, I don't know, like, there was not as much passion as I would expect. And I don't mean gayfully. I just mean, like, passion for, like, just, like, the very emo dramatics of the vampires, right?
Yeah.
So, like, every line is like, whoa, betide me! So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how they do it in this new version. But anyway. I think I read an interview with Anne Rice recently because like I said, I had no interest and now I have all the interest. So I was like reading some interview with Anne Rice, and she was talking about how, like, even though she had written the script for the movie, like, so many things had changed in the production of it. That, like, by the end of it, it wasn't really what she had anticipated. So that's why she's like hands off with things now. She's like, if you wanna do it and I believe in your vision, then I'm just gonna let you do what you're gonna do. Because so I think that's interesting. Anyway, that's all. That was my highlight. And I told my low light.
You changed your mind about interviewing vampires. So.
Exactly. And I, you know, got deflated on Lord of the Rings. But I'm so, I don't know. I really hope it's good, y'all. I hope it's
marketing fun. Is important, people.
It's so funny because with the Rings of Power, like, it's almost every other week, every few days or so. Like, I feel like I get a new email about, like, and here's more cast members in the show. I'm like, there's so many cast members. Please stop. I'm not going to memorize all of these names.
This is looking like the appendix of a Tolkien book. We get it. Thank you. Oh, my God. So we'll see. I think one thing, like, that I have learned, quote unquote, not really, but, like, if you're trying to avoid the hateration from the white supremacist nation, I guess, then you would just, like, don't bring up how diverse you are, I guess, because it's, like, a trigger word for them. I don't know, it's interesting, because it's, like, I'll see one thing that's, like, Interview the Vampire, let's say, right? Well, posted the interview, and they're not talking about the fact that Louis is black, even though obviously he was a slave owner in the book, so he's obviously not now because he is black. So he's a brothel owner instead. But they didn't talk about that in the interview, and I have gotten zero hate comments. But then for Lord of the Rings, they talk about the diversity, it's only hate comments. So I'm like, so just don't say it? I mean, they're not going to be surprised because, like, obviously they see it because they can see Jacob Anderson. but I'm just like, I wonder, like, I just really wonder how it calls to them. You know what I mean? Like, because it's not like the title says and diversity. You know what I mean?
I think it's at a point in general, just because I feel like sometimes they use diversity as a talking point so much that people might even feel inclined to like it more than they would because of that, but they avoid like actually talking about the story and how much work people put into it and all that stuff, because like you said, we can see that it's diverse, like it's obviously on the screen,
right.
And I feel like people just, they want the brownie points sometimes.
They want the diversity cookies.
And I think that's why it feels hollow. You know what? I'm going to say that. That's why I think it feels hollow with Amazon. First off, because it's Amazon. So, like, I don't believe it's supposed to pass for anybody. So, like, I believe that the actors want this. Like, I believe in the actors when they say it. But I'm like, I don't believe that the corporation that you are working on this for is actually, you know, doing this for something other than brownie points. I don't know. I literally have not heard from the creators yet. Like, I don't know who the creators are. I know their names.
You probably were sitting next to one at the dinner.
Right. But I just feel like I haven't heard about their vision from them yet, which is so weird. Like, I've heard so much from Amazon, and then
it's probably not their vision.
I hope it is. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want. I want to hear from them, or I want to see the episode and know that is, it's really like a legitimate, you know, whatever, good thing. But the way that they, I don't know. Like we said already, marketing is important. So Amazon, you think that that's your whole job. So you think you would know how to do that. But whatever. Okay. That's it. I'm done now.
I feel like they put in so much money into the show that at this point they're just like,
it's too big to fail.
It's too big to fail.
Yeah, right. I mean, good thing it's Amazon, right? Who has more money than Amazon?
Right.
Kind of reminds me, I mean, like the way you're describing it kind of reminds me of like Wheel of Time, and how I feel like that was another, supposed to be a big, it's based on like a hugely popular book series, spent a lot of money on it, and it was all right.
I feel like people have like enjoyed it, but it definitely didn't catch quote unquote fire the way that
it's not like a Game of Thrones,
right, that you think something should when it is,
although like the books are literally supposed to be like pre-Game of Thrones, like this is where George R.R. Martin got like inspiration from to build Game of Thrones was Wheel of Time.
And I've read that first Wheel of Time book so many times, never gotten past the first one, but I have the first one a lot. Because every time,
was it
I'm
not
like,
good?
I mean, I feel like it's good, but like it's like a slog to get through for me. I'm like interested, but then I always give up. I don't know why. Like
this
I'm just like
I never finished the first Lord of the Rings book.
Right. I feel like it is similar. It's similar in the way that they're written, in that it's like very
world building heavy.
Yeah, world building heavy. And obviously Game of Thrones is a little bit too, but there's plenty of action in between in Lord of the Rings. In Game of Thrones, so I don't know. Whatever. So yes, does anyone else have stray thoughts on things that occurred at Comic-Con or trailers that dropped or anything?
No.
Then that is that on that. Thank you all, and farewell. Come back soon for other Patreon, or this is not a Patreon episode, so for actual Patreon episodes. We will eventually be talking about Thor 4 and Harley Quinn.
We'll be talking about Harley Quinn season 3.
Oh, okay.
That's coming up.
Yes. Oh, so we're not talking about Thor. Okay, I see.
What is there to say about Thor? Like, I, you know.
All right. So we're not doing that. Eventually Paper Girls. And probably, if I can convince these ladies to watch Sandman. Oh,
I will watch Sandman, so yes. we can do that one.
We'll talk about Sandman. And we'll do Umbrella Academy Season 3.
And yes, that's Umbrella right. Academy
Season 3. One day, I will watch Umbrella Academy.
We have a list of stuff, you guys, on Patreon. So go over to www.patreon.com/cctvgumption. Sign up to listen.
And in the meantime, you can catch us at all those places. Send us feedback for the love of Bob. On Tumblr, on Twitter, on emails. Ladies, wgumption@gmail.com or .tumblr.com. See Stevie Gumption, Twitter. Goodbye!
Bye! Bye.